Have you ever been at cruise altitude, looked out the window, and wondered if you could actually see the curve? I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. That question came across my desk this week, courtesy of a piece from Simple Flying, and it's one of those stories that sounds like clickbait until you actually dig into the physics. So let's dig in. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, all right. 51,000 feet, that's flight level 510. Most of you listening have never been there, and most commercial passengers never will be. Your typical Boeing 737 or Airbus A320 tops out somewhere around flight level 410, maybe 430 on a good day with a light load. The big wide bodies, your 777s, your A350s, they'll push up to flight level 430, occasionally 450, but 51,000, that's a different neighborhood entirely. Here's what you need to know. There are a handful of business jets that operate routinely at those altitudes. The Gulfstream G700, the Bombardier Global 7500, the Cessna Citation X+, these airplanes were designed to get above the weather, above the traffic, and into the thin air where true airspeed numbers get very favorable for fuel burn. At flight level 510, you're looking at ambient air pressure around 1.5 pounds per square inch. The sky above you isn't blue anymore. It's a deep, dark indigo, almost violet, trending toward black. And if the conditions are right and you know where to look, yes, you can perceive the curvature of the Earth. Now, let me be precise here, because this matters at 35,000 feet, which is where most of you experience cruise flight. The curvature is technically there, but it's extremely subtle. The human eye has a hard time distinguishing it from a straight horizon line, especially through a small cabin window with limited field of view. Studies have put the threshold for reliably detecting curvature with the naked eye somewhere around 50,000 feet, give or take, depending on the observer and the conditions. At 51,000 feet, pilots in the flight deck of these ultra-long-range business jets report that the curve becomes noticeable. Not dramatic, not like looking at a globe on your desk, but perceptible. The horizon drops slightly below eye level, and if you pan your gaze from one side of the windscreen to the other, there's a gentle arc. You're seeing geometry that most people only encounter in photographs from much higher altitudes. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though. This isn't just a novelty. There's some real aerodynamics and human physiology behind why this altitude band is interesting. First, the flying environment up there is genuinely different. You're above 99% of the atmosphere's weather. Turbulence at flight level 510 is rare. When it does occur, it's almost always clear air turbulence associated with a jet stream or mountain wave activity, and it can be severe precisely because there's so little air density to dampen it. Pilots operating at these altitudes need specific training. The coffin corner gets very real up there. The margin between your maximum operating Mach number and your stall speed in indicated airspeed narrows considerably. You might have only 10 or 15 knots of usable airspeed range. That demands smooth, precise inputs and excellent autoflight management. Second, the physiological environment. Cabin altitude in these jets is typically maintained around 6,000 feet when the airplane is at flight level 510. That's pressurization technology doing serious work. If you lost pressurization at 51,000 feet, your time of useful consciousness is measured in seconds, not minutes, seconds, somewhere around 9 to 12 seconds. That's why crews at these altitudes keep their quick don oxygen masks within arm's reach at all times, and many operators require one pilot to be on supplemental oxygen above flight level 450. Third, and this is where it gets interesting for you general aviation pilots thinking about the big picture. These altitudes put you in airspace that is largely empty. Above flight level 600, you're in the domain of military aircraft and the occasional research platform. Between flight level 450 and 510, traffic is sparse. Air traffic control handles these flights, but the separation standards and communication procedures can be different. Some of this airspace is covered by reduced vertical separation minimum standards known as RVSM, which allows 1,000-foot vertical separation instead of 2,000. Pilots and aircraft operating in RVSM airspace need specific certification. The altimeters have to meet tighter accuracy standards. The autopilot has to maintain altitude within specific tolerances, and the crew has to be trained and current. Now, back to the view. Why does this story resonate with people? I think it's because we're pilots. We chose this because something about being up there changes your perspective, literally. At 3,000 feet on a local flight, you see your town differently. At flight level 350 crossing the country, the geography tells a story you can't appreciate from the ground, And at 51,000 feet, you're seeing the planet itself as an object in space. The sky darkens, the horizon curves. You are, in a very real sense, at the edge of where airplanes can function and where spacecraft begin to make more sense. For the record, the highest any conventional jet has operated routinely was the Lockheed SR-71 Blackbird at around 85,000 feet. At that altitude, the curvature is obvious, and you can see the thin blue line of the atmosphere as a distinct layer. Pilots who flew the Blackbird described it as seeing the Earth from space while still technically being in the atmosphere. The U-2, the Dragon Lady, cruises around 70,000 feet, and its pilots wear full pressure suits because the environment is that unforgiving. But you don't need a military reconnaissance platform to appreciate what altitude does to your view. The point of this story, and the reason I think it's worth your time, is that it's a reminder of what makes aviation remarkable. We operate machines that take us to places where the fundamental geometry of the planet becomes visible. That's not nothing. Whether you're flying a Cessna 150 at 5,000 feet or riding in the back of a G700 at flight level 510, you're participating in something that less than 1% of the human population ever experiences firsthand. One more detail worth mentioning. Simple Flying's piece touches on the flat Earth conversation, and I'm going to spend exactly 10 seconds on that. The curvature of the Earth has been measured, photographed, and confirmed by every method available to science for centuries. Pilots see it. Navigators account for it in every great circle route you've ever flown. Your flight management system's navigation database is built on an oblate spheroid model of the Earth, meaning it's not even a perfect sphere. It's slightly flattened at the poles and wider at the equator. Every time your GPS gives you a position fix, it's using that model. So, moving on. This affects you if you're a pilot who has ever looked out the window and felt something shift inside you. That moment when the horizon stretches out and the world gets small and quiet, that's the thing that keeps us flying. And it's worth remembering on days when the paperwork and the maintenance costs and the weather cancellations make you wonder why you bother. Sources today from Simple Flying and some long-standing references on high altitude physiology and RVSM operations. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Go fly something.